See how, in this scenario, a slice of Jim Channon's 1st Earth Battalion, harsh light and noise, and a slice of Frank Olson's artichoke, a whole new category of longing, come together like two pieces of a jigsaw. On the day before Eric's press conference, Eric and I watched old 8mm home movies of his father playing in the garden with his children. On the screen, Frank was riding a wobbly old bicycle, and Eric, then a toddler, was resting on the handlebars. Eric gazed, smiling, at the screen. He said, "There's my father. Right there, that's him. In comparison with the other guys from the CIA, he has an open face." Eric paused. "Basically," he said, "this is a story about a guy who had a simple moral code and a naive view of the world. He wasn't fundamentally a military guy, and he certainly wasn't someone who would be involved in terminal interrogations. He went through a moral crisis, but he was in too deep and they couldn't let him out." We continued watching the home video. Then Eric said, "Think of how much could have been different if he was alive to tell any of this. Ha! The whole history of a lot of things would be different, and you can see a lot of that just in his face. A lot of the other men have very tight, closed faces. He doesn't." And Eric trailed off. At some point during his investigation, Eric hooked up with the British journalist Gordon Thomas, who has written numerous books on intelligence matters. Through Thomas, Eric learned that during a trip to London in the summer of 1953, his father had apparently confided in William Sargent, a consultant psychiatrist who advised British intelligence on brainwashing techniques. According to Thomas, Frank Olson told Sargent that he had visited secret joint American-British research installations near Frankfurt, where the CIA was testing truth serums on expendables, captured Russian agents and ex-Nazis. Olson confessed to Sargent that he had witnessed something terrible, possibly a terminal experiment, on one or more of the expendables. Sargent heard Olson out and then reported to British intelligence that the young American scientist's misgivings were making him a security risk. He recommended that Olson be denied further access to Porton Down, the British chemical weapons research establishment. After Eric learned this, he told his friend, the writer Michael Ignatieff, who published an article about Eric in the New York Times. A week later, Eric received the telephone call he'd been waiting for his whole life. It was a real Harold Jr., one of his father's best friends from Detrick, a man who knew everything and was willing to tell Eric the whole story. His name was Norman Cornwallier.